Iraq dominated the nation's and the world's attention this past week. More photographs became public of Americans' abuse of Iraqi prisoners. Reports proliferated that the abuse was more severe and more widespread than previously acknowledged. The head of the Iraqi Governing Council was assassinated Monday. The home of Ahmed Shalabi, the head of the Iraqi National Congress, was raided Thursday. There was an attempted assassination this weekend of Iraq's top security official. Plans for handing over sovereignty to Iraqis remained elusive, and the fighting continued with more American deaths and more Iraqi deaths, including men, women, and children, killed in a raid that Iraqis claimed hit a wedding party and the American command said targeted an insurgent safe house. All of the above smothered news of 900,000 new jobs and gas prices that lingered above $2 a gallon. It even overwhelmed stories of the first state-sanctioned gay marriages and the 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education. With Baghdad and Washington monopolizing the country's attention, we wanted to hear from colleagues outside the Beltway. Pat Yak is the editor of the Florida Times Union, and he joins us from Jacksonville. Welcome back, Pat.
Thanks, Leanne. Good to be back.
Robert Kittle is the editorial page editor of the San Diego Union-Tribune, and welcome back to you, Bob.
Thank you.
And Sandra Roberts is the managing editor of Opinion at the Tennessean. Hello, Sandra. I know it's our first time, but welcome back to the program.
Hi, Leanne.
All right, all three of you in unison. Is Iraq dominating the front pages of your newspapers and people's minds in your areas?
Yes, absolutely.
That sounds like a three for three. Let's break it down. Sandra, let's start with you. Are people in Nashville focused on the photographs of abuse, or are they thinking about the conduct of the war or the political situation in Iraq?
All three, all of the above. And, it seems that with every day, every new development, the public's attention kind of scurries over to that new element. And then 2 days later, when there's another development, it kind of scurries over there. So I think that there's kind of a frenetic following of this very confusing and depressing story.
Bob Kittle in San Diego. The military has a substantial presence in Southern California. How are people in the military responding, first of all, to the publication of abuse photographs?
Well, of course, everyone here is as horrified by the abuse as I think people around the world are. But I think primarily people in San Diego are focused on the welfare of the American military personnel, because San Diego literally has tens of thousands of men and women deployed in Iraq. And the death of military personnel continue to be a top concern as funerals are held here for military personnel who've died, and as families try to stay together and support each other through this difficult time.
Pat Yak, what's the feeling in northeastern Florida about the publication of the photographs?
Well, you know, this is a big Navy town, Leanne. I don't know that people want to know that much more about the details of what happened in the prison, but it wouldn't surprise me to hear readers say they would like to know more about who knew what and to what degree a climate or a condition was created to allow what turned out to be some pretty inhumane behavior.
Even though the war is dominating, Pat, political wisdom holds that presidential elections are usually won or lost based on how the economy is doing. Is it your sense that people where you are more concerned about their wallets or the war?
Probably both. The economy in Florida is doing quite well. In fact, Florida added about 168,000 jobs last year, according to the governor's office, and the unemployment rate in April here was 4.6%. That bodes well for the president in the state in which his brother is the governor. There are a couple of spots that are quite vulnerable to the president, though. In South Florida, for instance, the unemployment rate is much higher in Miami and Dade County. And I suspect that the race is pretty close right now here.
Bob Kittle, what's the case in San Diego? Does the war trump the economy?
I think it certainly does here in Southern California, in San Diego County. The economy here is strong. The unemployment rate is well below the national average. California just had its bond rating upgraded from rock bottom levels this week by Moody's Investor Service because of the improving California economy. So I think when it comes to the economy, people are relatively satisfied. This has not been a state that has lost large numbers of manufacturing jobs, as some other states have. And people here are more encouraged about the economy, perhaps, than they may be in the Midwest and some other parts of the country.
Sandra Roberts, how are the economy and the war matching up in Tennessee?
I would say that today the war trumps the economy. Having said that, I think the public's attention span is very short, and if the Iraq situation settled down, then the economy would be by far the bigger story. Tennessee's economy has improved over the last year or two, and unemployment numbers have dropped slightly, and I think people are feeling, in general, they're feeling better about the economy, except for the gas prices, which is probably the second topic of discussion in Tennessee right now.
Sandra, do you get the sense that people are changing vacation plans in Tennessee because of the gas prices?
We haven't seen any signs of that yet. I think that they're changing their ideas about what kind of car they want to drive. I mean, there's been a lot of evidence of that with SUVs sitting on the lot and hybrid cars on back order. But I haven't seen any signs that people are changing their travel plans yet.
Mm. Bob Kittle, I mean, I know it's a cliche to talk about driving with somebody from California, but is the price of gas maybe causing people to change their habits in any way?
I don't think it's changing habits very much yet. San Diego actually has the highest gasoline prices of any major city in the country. I buy the top grade of gasoline for my little sports car, and it costs $2.56 this week to fill my tank. There was not a lot of participation here in the one-day boycott of gasoline purchases that was called for, but people certainly are grumbling about it and unhappy about it. That said, we had an editorial in yesterday's paper. The headline said petrol pandering, in which we criticized the Democrats for their call to deplete the strategic oil reserve by 1 million gallons a day, because, frankly, that wouldn't have any real impact on the price of gasoline. The hope on the horizon really comes from the Saudi government, which last week called for an increase in OPEC output. Of course, increasing the output is what will bring down prices in the long run, not raiding the strategic petroleum reserve.
Pat Yak, what about in Florida? Of course, it's a tourist destination. Are officials concerned that the price of gas is going to keep people close to their homes, perhaps once school lets out?
You know, we have a mixed report on tourism thus far for the first quarter this year, Leanne. We are seeing a 12.4% increase in the number of people that are coming to Florida the first quarter this year. That's 22 million people January to March. What's ironic about it is that travel within the state is down. So while it might be impacting Floridians going to the theme parks, going to the beach, and the like, it hasn't affected Americans or Canadians especially, who represent close to 1 million visitors to our state. About 45% of the people who come here drive here. And so with those numbers going up, it tells you it may be that the gas prices are high, but not preventing people from coming here.
Pat Yak is the editor of the Florida Times Union. Bob Kittle is the editorial page editor of the San Diego Union-Tribune. And Sandra Roberts is the managing editor of Opinion at the Tennessean. Thank you all very much.
Thanks,
Leanne.